My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's go around the NFL in the Loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL on a Texans victory Monday after the Texans get a victory 29-27 over the Colts. What's happening around the rest of the National Football League? And look, it was a very eventful Sunday before we even got to kickoff.
Where oh, my goodness.
So many things happened.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll start with the thing that I saw earliest in the day, which is I don't know if I woke up to this, but when I actually really started getting into Twitter, I was like, wait, Tyreek Hill is what is happening? As Tyreek Hill on his way into the game in Miami, they were facing off again. Who were they playing again? The Jags.
Jacksonville.
They ultimately got a field goal that put them over the top, helped the Texans secure the outright lead in the AFC South because the Jags got a loss there. Shout out to them. But yeah, Tyreek Hill was detained. I don't know if detained was the word that I will use because it was the word that I saw utilized. I don't know that he was actually arrested or what have you. At some point, Calais Campbell, his teammate, came over.
He was detained for a while,
yeah,
too.
He was detained as well because he came over to try and, like, I don't know if he tried to kind of mitigate the situation or help assuage what was happening there. And he ended up caught up by some of the police officers there. But yeah, supposedly some level of, like, traffic stop ended up with Tyreek Hill detained on the side of the road. Multiple videos from folks in Miami ended up on social media swirling. Ultimately, Tyreek Hill was, like, allowed to go and play. I know that Drew Rosenhaus went. I believe Drew Rosenhaus's agent went and got made sure that everything was clean and on the up and up there. But yeah, ultimately, he goes, he plays, he balls out in that game.
You could see that coming, though. You could absolutely just like see that coming.
It had a Scottie Scheffler feel to it.
Oh, yes. Very much so. That's a good call. I texted the family text because, you know, everybody's always into football. And I'm like, Tyreek about to go out for 300. And he almost did.
How about that celebration?
Yeah, he ended up getting a touchdown and, you know, kind of got taken away.
Got detained.
Yeah, he got detained. 7 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown for the speedster Tyreek Hill. Here's Tyreek Hill after the game. He was asked about the situation, and I thought he had a little bit of perspective when he talked about it.
Now, you know, so I've been trying to figure that out too. I've been trying to figure that out too, man. Right now, I'm still trying to put it all together. So I'm not going to give you a version that I still don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? But I do want to be able to use this platform to say, like, what if I wasn't trying to be female, bro? Like, worst case scenario, you know, because it's crazy. Like, I want to be a cop one day. I got a state trooper hat, all that, you know, so I got a lot of respect for cops, man. But obviously, you know, everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know, so I want to be able to, you know, use this platform, you know, to figure out a way to, like, flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and, you know, do something positive for the community.
You mentioned it, perspective. I thought restraint was another word that
definitely
could,
restraint,
that could
100%.
Be used there, because, look, let's just be very clear. We don't know the officer's perspective.
We don't. We do know that at least one of the officers that was there was put on administrative duties.
Yes, and we also know why, because we saw the videos.
Yeah,
But so we, to be fair, he said he has his perspective. We don't know. We'll find out. We don't know why and what you know, sort of initiated the stop and all that. So let's just leave that there in terms of we'll find that out. But had I been stopped and my perspective was, wait a minute, you know, sort of the Scotty Scheffler thing, like Figgy said, I don't know if I would show that kind of restraint. And also sort of seeing things from the other side.
Yeah.
You know, the way he, you know, way he put that there. So, you know, as polarizing as Tyreek Hill can be and has been in his career, you got to give him credit for that. Yeah. I feel like you have to. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he ended up playing well. I guess time will tell, mm-hmm. and I imagine there will be a decent amount of reporting done. And it seems like the Miami-Dade, when it comes to the police department, they'll have some level of accountability as they're trying to you know, hold themselves and figure out what exactly happened with that, I guess, that detainment there. Some other things that happened during the course of that, Jamar Chase said that he will play, or that he would play yesterday without a deal, and he did. Nothing super inspiring in the course of playing that game. I think he had 6 targets. And when asked about it, I don't know that he... Lopez, do you think he sounded enthused?
Let's hear it.
Did you think the game plan was any different today because of your limited practice time?
You gotta ask Zach.
I feel like y'all, it seems like I talked about it for months. I want to come out that same way again, the same way y'all do it. Like, why do you think y'all have to put your finger on and fix that issue?
I don't know, man. Ask Zach, bro.
Now, he did speak to the media for at least like 3 or some minutes that I saw.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gave some clear answers. But when it came down to like those specific ones, talk to the coach. That's above me.
That organization, you've heard me say it before, they just kind of mess things up. They just don't perform at a high level compared to other organizations in the NFL. And then there's the relationship aspect of it, which clearly there's a little bit of a splinter there as well.
I mean, he did... He got 6 targets. Andre Eosivas got 6 targets as well. I don't know if that is
Andre.
A cause for concern.
Yeah.
But yeah, 62 yards receiving for Jamar Chase. Yeah, that's going to still be fascinating for me. I'm sorry, all the way around.
Oh, for sure.
During the course of getting ready for this game, we also found out that a quarterback got his money. Kind of making me sad personally, but Dak Prescott signed a 4-year, $240 million extension with the Cowboys. The guaranteed money number is fun. As we know, Deshaun Watson got $230 million guaranteed, all the way guaranteed. Dak Prescott.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's got 231.
Oh, you had that one extra, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I need you to know.
had that one extra.
I got the most money.
Yeah, when we're talking about history. It's over here. That's what he said.
Bragging rights.
Mm-hmm. Why the hell did they take so long to do this, the Cowboys?
It was like up to the last second here. It's just the...
It came down at 11 a.m.
Yes, yes.
Why are they like this?
I don't understand, I mean, why this was down to the wire like that. The CeeDee Lamb thing, of course, was very similar. Yeah, I just don't understand. But
and they just gave him $60 million a year. Like, yeah. Obviously, I bring this up not just because this was the, you know, a historic number, but also that starts setting eyes again. What's happening in Texans? What's happening in Casario? These are numbers that you have to keep in mind, because here in a year or a couple years, you're going to have to start really looking at what the number is for C.J. Stroud, because it feels like he's absolutely going to be in these areas.
He's 60. He's going to be 60. The other thing that struck me is 4 years, $240 million, 231 guaranteed. Dak is your quarterback.
Yeah.
Dak is your quarterback, for better or worse. You know, playoff. I mean, none of this is even going to matter until or if they make the playoffs. You know, because that's what the story has been with him. And if they somehow don't make the playoffs.
But see, the thing, I don't even think the thing is the playoffs. They got to get further in the playoffs.
Sure,
they
too,
get making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They just get bounced out early.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least one portion of that team is going to be held accountable for that. Mike McCarthy doesn't have a deal past this season. I imagine that's a path of least resistance if they don't.
Oh, it has to be. No, he's on the clock now.
But yeah, you're right. The quarterback, he's there. We got our first look at regular season usage of the Guardian Cap. In fact, in the game, the Texans-Colts game, I don't know, did you notice?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you did. Figgy, did you happen to notice the Guardian
notice.
Cap? All right, yeah. So, One of the players in this game, tight end for the Colts, and I'm already forgetting his name as I'm about to go to it. It is Kylan Granson was wearing a guardian cap. I also believe one of their safeties, Rodney Thomas, was wearing it as well. NFL on CBS has our guy J.J. Watt on it, and they asked him about just the idea of wearing the guardian caps in games.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to wear it, feel free to wear it. I mean, if it makes you feel safer and that's what you want to do, would I wear it? Personally, no. But everybody gets to choose what they want to do.
I don't have a problem with it. I didn't think it looked that bad either.
That was my thing.
People
was
didn't even notice.
Yeah, that was my big thing.
Yeah.
Did you notice? Because I honestly didn't until later in, or pretty much after the game, honestly, where I was like, oh, that's right. Yeah, that was happening.
Remember, Jonathan Taylor wore it in the preseason.
Yeah, there was players that wore it in the preseason.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I think some of them decided not to do it. I think ultimately we had two players in the Texans-Colts game, both Colts, out of, I believe, what was a total of four players around the league that ultimately wore the Guardian cap in a regular season game. Titans also had a guy wear them, Josh Weil, a tight end. But then also the most notable was in the Patriots game, Jabril Peppers, the safety, wore the Guardian cap.
I don't think it's a big deal, man.
I don't think it is either. I really don't wonder if there will be a knocking down of the stigma, as it seemed like it kind of flew under the radar for a lot of folks. I do wonder if that was part of it, or if that, you know, I know that Dalton Schultz has talked about maybe it being, I don't know, making the helmets a little heavier, or if it feels a little cumbersome, how that is.
Yeah.
But if stigma's a part of it, I feel like we might be knocking some of that down.
Yeah, no, I really don't think it's a big deal. I get, you know, that whole macho thing or whatever, but I if they want to wear it, as JJ said, do it. It's hardly even noticeable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 281 says CJ's getting 10 years, 700 mil easy. I mean,
I wonder how much guaranteed he going to get. Or is he going to be in that quarterback class like a Mahomes where you kind of do the team a bit of a favor?
I think his first contract, the favors are going to be minimal. maybe they'll restructure it after a couple of years or whatever, and he can sort of do a team-friendly deal, but not the first one. I mean, you know, especially if they can go on and get to an AFC Championship or a Super Bowl, he's going to get paid and he's going to deserve it.
Well, whatever the money is, I hope that he's healthy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Friday night, we got a little bit of injuries when it comes to like high-level quarterbacking, or depending on how you view him, high-level. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love, the quarterback for the Packers, he's going to miss a little bit of time. He suffered an MCL sprain down in Brazil. He's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. Now, this was, oddly enough, a positive result because they weren't sure exactly the extent of the knee issue that he had after that game. But it turns out that it's an MCL sprain as opposed to something more, you know, dangerous, a tear or something like that. So 3 to 4 weeks, the Packers are either going to go with, is it Sean Clifford or Malik Willis?
Yeah.
Sean Clifford has thrown one pass for the Green Bay Packers. Malik Willis
has thrown one good pass.
There you go. So, that is what they are working with for a team that, as we've talked about, it seems like they are the bizarro Texans. They're the NFC Texans. That's going to really put a damper in what they're doing there for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
And I am skeptical on the 3 or 4 weeks. As we've talked about on this show, when they say MCL sprain, there is no such thing as an MCL sprain. That does not exist. It's a slight tear.
Micro tear or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It's a slight tear. So kind of keep an eye on that. I feel bad for him because I fully expected, like you said, you know, for him to be the NFC CJ Stroud. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. 3 or 4 weeks, I'd take that in a heartbeat.
It kind of sucked, too, because of the play, how it happened. It's like, man, like that could have been prevented, man.
And at the very end,
it was the very end,
yeah.
Man, where the game
on a bad field, by the way.
Yeah, and I think I know they could have had a chance, but it was a slight chance they could have won that game, man.
Yep.
Yeah, the field thing is going to be something that we're not going to hear the end of.
Mm-mm.
In fact, we'll bring it back around when we talk about the winners and losers of the weekend. But yeah, it's funny because that field that they used, right, which is it's natural grass, but it's also, it has turf fibers within it. I'm sure if you were watching the broadcast, you heard the same thing I did. There are two teams in the NFL that have a field that utilizes that same technology. Lincoln Financial Field, where the Eagles play, Lambeau Field, where the Packers play. So both of these teams, you imagine, should be some level of accustomed to that field, and yet and still, it felt like they were slipping and sliding.
Yeah.
I do wonder if it was just like, hey, a soccer field is going to be treated differently than an NFL field, and maybe somehow that makes them play differently. I don't know.
I don't know if it comes down to the depth of the padding. I've heard all kinds of stuff. So either way, no matter what it was, that was awful. That was awful.
How y'all feel about the organic turf in Indy?
Yeah.
You're going to hear about that in Passing Thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
You're going to hear about that in Passing Thoughts.
We're setting things up. Which, actually, you know what? Passing Thoughts is coming up next. So on a Texans victory reaction Monday, that's a lot of words that I just said, after a 29-27 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up, we're going to get the OG's Passing Thoughts, and we'll do that next.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's Passing Thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
All right, let's get to it.
I still want to know what
word is. Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out later.
All right. Stay away from the clubhouse.
Stay away from the clubhouse. Let's start sort of, like I said, just to remind everyone, it's sort of just my thoughts as they go. Stream of consciousness, as they go over the course of the day. My first one was Cam Akers is inactive, huh?
Yeah. Did you see that before I texted you?
I saw it as you were texting me.
Very good.
And Figgy. It made me feel a little uneasy, I'm not going to lie. It worked out, of course. Damian Pierce had a couple of decent runs. What did he have, 3 carries, 19 yards, 16 yards, something like that?
Oh, gosh, let me pull it back up.
I wasn't surprised, man.
Figgy was telling y'all.
Yeah. No, you were not surprised. I was. Made me feel a little bit uneasy. But, of course, we know how it worked out with Joe Mixon. But here's the passing thought.
All right, real quick. I just want to slide this in here. Damian Pierce, 3 attempts, 16 yards.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
With a 9-yard longest play, which was just right downhill, just rumbling, bumbling.
John McClain had a great observation, and you had the same observation, but during Texans radio this morning, he said the play calls for Damian Pierce were not zone read.
No.
They were like, get the ball, go that way. You know, so that was good.
They've recognized. They know what it is.
They know the story. Another passing thought, and this is, again, as the game is progressing, I'm writing these down. Shane Steichen clearly wanted to make a statement, and it backfired on him. They took the ball to start the game.
They did.
They won the toss and took the ball to open the game. And you know what that meant? And these were important points.
Opportunity to do the score and score like Belichick likes.
Well, that too, but and we'll get to that. But I think it meant, like, when they had 4th and 1 in the first quarter at midfield, even though he does sometimes go for it.
He's a little bit more analytically inclined.
Yeah, but he had no choice but to go for it there. If you take the ball and you're at midfield on 4th down, you have to go for it because you're trying to make a statement there. And it kind of backfired on him because the Texans then got the ball, went down the field and got a field goal. As well. So
that kind of reminded me, who was the quarterback? Was it Matt Hasselbeck that did that where he won the toss?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to score.
Yeah. Well, update.
Not quite. Close. The ball.
And then what you talked about, it also meant the Texans got the ball first to start the second half, and they went down for a field goal again to get an 8-point lead. So Shane Steichen tried to be bold and make a statement, totally backfired on him. Then there's this one.
Okay.
The Anthony Richardson experience is just wild.
Yeah, buddy.
It's just wild. Like, it's about as close to feast or famine as you can get in football. Like, this dude threw 65 yards in the air after slipping on his back foot, and you're like,
with his right tackle in his lap because Danielle Hunter was moving that man.
Yes. And you're like, holy. And then he misses 4 wide-open wide receivers, 2 for sure touchdowns, and you say the same word in a different context, holy. Like, this is what you get with Anthony Richardson.
That's right.
It's absolutely what you get.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I have talked about him as a dude that's going to get somebody fired, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because the high end of this is a problem.
It's a big problem.
Is a problem, right? We talked about that turf in Indy, right? Mm-hmm. It caught CJ Stroud quite a few times early in the game, which I mean, what a great amount of poise from him, but that's neither here nor here, there right now.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson got a little bit of that too, and still, right? Yeah. Just footwork be damned, right? Yeah. I got enough in this right arm to just send it up there. And that ends up being a problem. You also saw a little bit, but thankfully the Texans did a pretty good job of corralling this. When he started getting moving, it ended up being a problem. Like, when he saw some daylight, that dude can move. It's one of the things that we know.
I'm glad you said that.
Texas did a good job.
That touchdown he ran in, maybe 3 guys in the league can make. Like, he should have been tackled in front of the...
Did you feel bad for Petrie there?
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, wow, way to get there. Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. All right.
It doesn't matter. Like, so it's like feast or famine. He's the epitome of it. Dude went 9 for 19. He went 9. I mean, what do I always say about it?
An aggressively mid line.
Aggressively mid. Another passing thought, Figgy. You knew this was coming. I texted both you guys. Laremy Tunsil, midseason form. I mean, 2.
It's funny. When that whistle blew, I'm like, please, I hope it ain't Laremy Tunsil. It was. I'm like, dog it.
Yeah, it was. And then you mentioned the field in the last segment, and that's where this passing thought comes in. Colts field got a Brazilian wax. It was just like the one in Brazil.
Okay, I was like, where are we going here? Hold on. Like, why did a field take your brain to Brazilian wax? What's happening?
But yeah, it was awful. It was just awful. And they got to do something about it, right? I mean,
it looked clean, though.
It did.
It looked clean.
It didn't perform
clean. Slick, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if CJ's audio is in here, but I know CJ basically talked about the idea. It feels like it just probably needs to be broken in. And I do wonder if that actually is it. Well, I guess that is a space to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, not for the Texans. Texans done for the season over there.
Yeah.
So good luck with that, Colts. Yeah. But yeah, just that'll be a space to watch if that continues to be an issue, right? That mm-hmm. for them as they go along in the season, or if that's something that kind of over time with usage it wears in. And
I hope so, because it was really bad. Another passing thought here. Stroud's presence and his patience and manipulating the pocket, it's better than last year, man.
Yes, absolutely.
It's already better. I mean, no question about it.
I mean, and evidenced in part by when he was slipping and sliding. Like,
mm-hmm.
And maybe this, again, might be a reach. I want to acknowledge that up front. It didn't feel like he was panicking in those moments.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, the presence.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. It did not feel like he was panicking. There was, I mean, early on, pass blocking, it took a second to settle in. Early on, it looked like there was going to be a lot of pressure on this man, and just comfortable getting the ball out. Now, the precision came with time. It felt like the rust was a word that was mm-hmm. utilized, and I think was aptly so.
Yeah.
Because it did look a little rusty to start, but all through that time, there was not a level of anxiety. There was not a level of angst. Really cool, calm, collected when he was handling his business in the pocket.
Looked like a 10-year veteran out there. And I'm glad you mentioned that about early on.
We just all about segues here.
Yeah, baby. Man, we have a vibe going working here. So another one here. I've never seen the script flipped so drastically when it comes to line play. Because early on, I was like, this ain't great. Like, not only he has that great presence in the pocket, he's able to avoid some pressure and such, but he was kind of running for his life too on a lot of plays. And then all of a sudden the script flips and the Texans offensive line says, you know what, we're going to go ahead and do our little beast mode here and just start dominating. So the line, sort of the arc of how the line was performing was night and day.
Yeah, one of the things that I found interesting is I took a note in the first quarter. O-line is struggling right now. How much does the turf factor, or is it just the Colts D-line being a menace?
Right.
And I don't know what of those ended up being the case, because it definitely got to a place where they were actually really imparting their will. Another thing that I found interesting is I like getting into some of the stats that NFL has on their website. Not necessarily NFL website, but like the...
Yeah.
I guess NFL GSIS, if that makes any sense, or if you know what that is. And one of the things that I found incredibly interesting during this game, to the point where I sent it to the group chat for some of my friends. I don't know if this was at the end of the game, but at some point during the game, I was looking at like directions running the football,
mm-hmm.
and it shows up almost like a bar graph. Can you see which side of the offensive line is getting a lot of Joe Mixon's running?
Yes, I can.
Joe Mixon had at the point in the game where I took this, and I need to just go back to the site and check it again. 17 attempts for 89 yards and a touchdown, wide left mm-hmm. behind Tunsil. Right, like we talk about Tunsil not necessarily being that run, lead blocker when it comes to running and that type of thing. And I know Kenyon Green over there, right? That probably helped a good amount. But running wide left, those guys were eating it up.
Yeah, they were absolutely eating it up. And we're going to get to Kenyon Green. But let's get to this other passing thought first. What the hell was that at the end of the first half?
Oh, buddy.
Man. I still don't fully understand, even after Jonathan Alexander did the pool report and spoke with the referees, and I read that. And I'm like, I still don't understand. The clock... The ruling, the play call, no field goal, the bad way the Texans ended it, C.J. Stroud's explanation, D'Amico Ryan's explanation. I still don't get exactly what happened at the end of the first
half. Do you want to try and clean this up? Because I do know that, all right, there are some people, if you did not have an opportunity to watch, or if you don't recall, there was a, clock is running down. It's a 2-minute drill for the Texans. And, I mean, they took their time to start getting going on this 2-minute drill.
Yeah.
When they did, right, when they were trying to get down the field, there was a pass over the middle of the field to Dalton Schultz. He's tackled, and it looks like the ball does pop out.
It's I not thought that it was, looks like it,
right?
To be honest.
And so it's like, was that a fumble? It was ruled a complete pass. They, hustle up, and the Texans are trying to spike the football. Or actually, they're trying to go for a play, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to just line up and go. Before they can snap the football and do whatever, the play is stopped in order to go and review to see if that was indeed a completed pass, mm-hmm. right? during the point of time, sometime in there, right, Shane Steichen wants to call a timeout, and that added to the confusion of these things.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the play is upheld that it was a catch, and so 5 seconds remain, or actually for a moment there, they're like, put time back
15
on.
15 seconds.
There's 15 seconds, and the whole of Lucas Oil Stadium's like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Me on my couch, I'm like, why is 15 seconds on the clock again? So they come out, they do that. They're like, wait, hold up. We messed up. My bad. Yeah. He actually apologized to the, my bad, put 5 seconds on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But the clock starts running when they put the ball down, not when the ball is snapped. And so the offense is on the field. They get the snap, but they don't have an opportunity to like really go and like make a play. And that ends the opportunity to get points at the end of the half.
Yes. And those were points that could have easily been very, very important. And even the play call, with even if you thought 15 seconds were on the clock and you that little out, you know, not on the sideline. Like
what? Well, 15. I think 15.
Maybe
you
could think go back up, right? Or whatever, run out of bounds, all that stuff.
Five.
Yeah.
That should be the kickers, right? Like the kicking team should be on the field. Like there's no way you get a playoff fast enough in 5 seconds where you guarantee yourself the field goal, right?
Yeah.
Throw into the sideline. Maybe you can get that done in 3-4 seconds. But are you guaranteeing that the away team's clock manager or whoever's running the clock is going to stop that with, you know, 1 second on the clock? I don't know, right? Yeah. And you don't take those chances. And so it was a very odd thing. And that I don't think that was the only decision that I had a little bit of kind of concern. Not concern, but it was kind of like confused about where, hey, D'Amico, what's happening in game management? But that was the big one.
Yeah. And another passing thought here. You mentioned this a second ago. Kenyon Green was a monster.
Yes.
He was a monster, dude. And I'm going to throw Juice Scruggs in there, too. You mentioned the left side of the line. That's Laremy Tunsil. Kudos to him. But Kenyon Green is a guy reaching for those tackles and reaching for the tackle, then getting another block on the second level. He was an absolute monster. Another passing thought here. Figgy, you know how I feel about this. I'm not anti, but just find someone who loves you the way Bobby Slowick loves end-arounds and reverses.
Shout out to Tank Dell getting his.
And that's the other thing I put down. I think this might be a new expanded role for Tank Dell because he didn't do that. He probably had more end-arounds or that yesterday than he had all season last year. I would guess. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But he was that might be a new role.
It was usually Hutchinson.
Yes.
He was the one that getting the end-arounds.
It was usually Hutchinson.
Yeah. I think Tank Dell got two carries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do wonder if that's just, hey, There's a lot of mouths to feed, so we're going to find innovative ways of getting you the football. And, hey, you've got speed. Let's hand it to you that way. I think that's smart.
Two more for you here. You got to give him love. What a luxury Kyahmi Fairbairn is.
Yes.
350-yard field goals, dude.
Yes.
I mean, and nails. Like right down the middle, nails. Another one for you here. When the Texans faced fourth and goal with 5 minutes left, this is what I wrote down. Don't like it. Get the points. Then the next thing I wrote down, great job, Stephon.
I wrote down, Diggs, red zone menace. Love the play call. Rolling CJ with a one-on-one matchup. Yeah,
Great job. Then the last thing I wrote down, I don't even know if I can say this on the radio, like as in basketballs. I wrote, holy balls, CJ, what a throw. What a catch for Nico Collins.
Yeah.
I think, and it's not an argument. I mean, it's just an opinion. I think CJ's throw was the better part of that play.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, he just placed it perfectly on a day where, you know, there was definitely some throws that he probably wants back, and you know there was ways that he could elevate his game, and we anticipate he will elevate his game and play better. What he did,
yeah,
particularly on that play, but I think overall sufficient, and on that play just beautiful. Wow, what you expect from CJ?
Chef's kiss.
Yes, bellissimo. There we go. Passing thoughts from the OG here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So much to talk about on a Victory Monday here for your Texans. I like that it got funky for my guy. He loves that funky.
I'm
music.
A big fan.
Play that funky music, Figgy. All right, coming up next in the Loop, let's talk about what's popping, including the weekend that was for your Houston Astros. A great pitching performance and a lackluster one. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get to What's Poppin'. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Texans Victory Monday. 29-27 was the score if you are not listening to Sports Radio 610 or watching yesterday. In Indy, victory, 1-0 for the Texans. Mm-hmm. First place, alone in first place, mind you, in the AFC South. So shout out to the Texans in that way. One of the things we were just talking about, mm-hmm. the idea of the end of the first half with all of that debacle. There was a question asked from the 713. Did they not tell the Texans, they being the refs, mind you, did the Texans or the refs not tell the Texans that they gave the timeout back to Indy? And someone else mentioned the idea that the Texans were ready to run a play with 15 seconds. The refs set the ball and didn't tell CJ. Well, according to the pool report, which is the opportunity to actually talk to the refs, one reporter is deemed the pool reporter that gets to ask some questions. In this instance, it was Jonathan M. Alexander. He asked about that end of the first half situation, and what the referee made clear, or at least said, was that they let the quarterback know. So CJ was informed, according to the ref.
Yeah.
Only God knows if that's actually what happened on the field.
And let's be honest, CJ said, that's on me.
Yeah, I've CJ said that's better. what's on him. In the walk-off interview from during at halftime on the broadcast, D'Amico said, that's on us. We've got to be better. They immediately took accountability, which is something you love seeing, by the way, from a team like this where it's like, hey, whoever's fault it is, we need to be better. But yeah, I don't know if there is there an obligation from the ref to tell the coach in that instance, though? They told the official line is that they told the quarterback. They told CJ. Did they not tell D'Amico? Is that not an obligation? Is that just an expectation that the quarterback should be able to tell the coach? I don't know.
I think let's just be clear here. The Texans can make mistakes. And I think they made a mistake.
As in they're capable of they're or capable, they're allowed to?
They're capable of making mistakes.
Yeah.
They're not perfect. I don't think CJ was perfect there. I don't think
they're allowed to make mistakes.
I don't think, well, that too. I don't think D'Amico was perfect there. I think they both will tell you that. It was bad. It was bad on the Texans. We're going to nitpick here in a little bit, about 1 o'clock or so. And we'll get to this again. But I think you say, is there an obligation to tell the coach? I think there might be, but I know it's incumbent upon the coach. The side judge is standing right in front of him, right next to him on the line.
Yeah.
So it's, hey, man, what's the situation? You know what I mean? So I think D'Amico made a mistake. I think it's fine in this case, and they're going to get better from it.
All right. So that's the Texans' victory. Shout out to them doing what they do, getting a win. Over the weekend, your Astros got a couple of wins against the Diamondbacks, a series win, if you will. A lot of runs put up in the course of this one. An 8-0 victory on Friday, 11-5 victory on Saturday, and a 12-6 loss. In the 8-0 victory, Framber Valdez doing Framber Valdez things. In his last seven games, this is courtesy of Michael Schwab on Twitter, five wins, 1.91 ERA, 55 strikeouts when it comes to Framber Valdez.
That ain't bad.
No, it's I mean, I might go as far as calling it good. Framber Valdez, I mean, he looks like your real ace things, right?
Yeah.
So the real shout out to him. Like, that's, it's great to see the rotation that you have. You're going to a 6-man rotation, according to Spouta. I believe that was yesterday. Once you get through this next rotation, so it's good to see that from Framber. Let's talk about the bad now, which is Verlander. Yesterday did not have a good go of it. He lost yet another game. 3-6 in his starts, and I mean, this was one of the four remaining starts that he had in order to get himself ready for the postseason. This was not helpful. Three innings pitched, eight hits, eight earned runs on him. And did not strike anybody out, including a walk. Like, this, he just does not seem like he is in the place where if the postseason started now, which it doesn't, he'd be in your rotation.
I don't see how any way that he could, and I think he would tell you that. Since he came off the IL, he's 0-4 with a 9.68 ERA.
Oh, no.
0-4 with a 9.68 ERA. You can't put him on the postseason roster now. He does have some more starts before the season ends.
But, I mean, look, we're running out of time when it comes to, oh, Verlander knows himself and he'll get himself together. It needs to be done, especially because, and this is the good thing, right? You have some pitchers that I think that you feel comfortable with. Like, obviously, Framber is one of those. Who had a pretty solid pitching line a couple days ago. Six innings, four earned runs in the course of that, but he got a win this weekend as well. Like, you have some guys that you feel, I think you should feel pretty confident in.
Hunter Brown, Arrighetti, who goes tonight. They got three against the A's starting tonight, and so that's going to be probably starting tomorrow, Tuesday. So yeah, you've got some options there And with so much stakes in the postseason, especially if it's, you know, a shorter series, a first round series there, all of a sudden, yeah, I think Verlander would not argue too much about not being in the rotation.
Yeah, so they're going to continue their series, or continue their season, rather, against the A's, which I know if you have not been really keeping an eye on baseball, you might go, oh, man, A's, that's going to be easy work. No, the A's have been battling since the break. They have been doing some pretty good work, you know, playing better baseball. So that's not going to be the easiest series, I don't imagine. But you mentioned Arrigetti going tonight, 7:10 first
tomorrow.
Pitch. Or tomorrow, rather. Yeah, that's Monday's off day.
Yeah.
I wish I could read a schedule. one thing I do know about, though, a thing that was very loud and clear as we talked about all of the news that came down before game week one tipped in earnest on a Sunday afternoon. Kendrick Lamar will be your halftime performer at the Super Bowl this season. And how do we feel about that, gentlemen?
Well, I have a confession about this, but I'll tell you right now, the 1220 confession right now. I feel like he wouldn't have gotten this if it wasn't for the beef with Drake.
Okay.
I really do. No, because no, let me explain. He's awesome.
I can see how you go there. Yeah, and
it's a lot to break down.
Okay. Yes. Okay. We'll dig in more at 1220.
Okay.
This
cool.
is my initial thought. He's huge. He's awesome. We know this.
Not physically though.
Sells a gazillion records, but that made him mainstream. That beef made him mainstream. Everyone on the.
Hell, I take umbrage with the way that you say it, but I understand what you're
saying. Well, maybe mainstream is the not word, but it expanded his brand a lot more than it had been. And if not for that, I'm not sure he would be the halftime performer. Just my confession, but that's how I feel.
I think that I hear what you're saying. I put in the context of having like the G-Funk Super Bowl a couple years back where you have like the likes of Dre and
he was there.
50 Cent and all those folks. Like, I think that you're seeing a different, a kind of a new era in some ways of halftime performers.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that is with the association with Apple Music and Jay-Z that the NFL has.
Yeah.
That they're trying to make sure to have more, I guess, quote unquote, relevant performers to the current day or what have you. It does feel like, you know, kind of that West Coast vibe, or at least, you know, some of the performers that are in a similar type of vein are trying to be, are kind of coming to the fore, or have been of late with the NFL. So I do think that he was visible. My big takeaway when I first saw it was, ooh, poor Drake. Poor Aubrey, man.
Yeah.
Like, the whole world has been dancing and line dancing and just having a fun time to the diss record against you.
So you're talking about it now?
And now...
You're talking about it now?
Now it's going to be most watched televised event in American life. And that's going to happen. It's going to be played.
We're
going to
see him perform a diss song.
Yes.
On the biggest stage in American sports.
And your auntie and your grandma are going to be singing along.
And you said poor Drake. Poor Lil Wayne.
He's
from New Orleans.
That was my takeaway because they've been talking about this Super Bowl in New Orleans for a minute now.
Yeah.
And how it should be. I see a lot of people saying it should be a Cash Money reunion or Young Money and all this other stuff. It'd be the perfect time to honor Lil Wayne. It didn't happen. I was a little disappointed at that. Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like Kendrick got the hot hand right now.
Yeah.
To me, with him performing that Super Bowl means he's probably putting out an album pretty soon.
Yes. That's typically because they're not getting paid off of this. So the you know, benefit is the crazy amount of exposure and the opportunity to launch usually like a tour or
and
something.
And how
like
did
that.
He get that hot hand?
By wop, 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 wop.
Say, Drake. That's how. I hear you like him young.
That's the crazy thing is that, like, hey, legitimate allegations in that way going to be levied on a national television. That's a wild thing. So, yeah, that's something to look forward to the Super Bowl. Another thing that is indeed popping. I'm not sure this Disney Direct TV dispute is going to get resolved soon.
Okay, why did you say tonight. That? I didn't really follow it over the weekend.
Yeah, so, there's not a ton to follow if you are a normal human being that's not, like, looking at upfronts for television and when television execs talk. I, for your benefit,
are
am not
normal.
A human, a normal human being. According to Direct TV and the was the executive, the CFO, Ray Carpenter, who held a conference call about it. He said, quote, we didn't cave during a recent dispute with Nexstar. This is more existential for us. We are not playing a short game. Mm-hmm. Right. And he went further as saying, or someone, Brian Steinberg, who was covering this, went further as saying they're not looking to come to a deal in time for Monday Night Football. They said, quote, we don't have any dates that are drawn in the sand. Now, some of this might be negotiating in the media, which, you know, happens at times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, typically you think of Monday Night Football, the prospect of when Disney has their football product and the NFL being the driver of live television in America, the idea that DirecTV is like, nah, you're not moving us off the block just because you have Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
If they're willing to, it's just like a player in the NFL with their holdout. If they're willing to actually miss games on week one, then you know, this is serious and this could go for a little while. This is the equivalent of missing games week one. I mean, it literally is missing games week one. I think that DirecTV might not be getting this done immediately.
And to your point, they don't care. Like they the bigger game for them is winning this negotiation, getting what they want, getting all the numbers the way they want. So it's not like, oh, fans, you know, all of a sudden are going to turn on this player if he misses week one.
Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, people can say what they want about DirecTV, but they don't care.
Yeah.
You can turn on them all you want.
Well, I mean, the idea that, hey, are you going to lose subscribers behind this? I think that's a unique possibility. But for them, they view this like, they use the word existential. Like, this is not just about an individual dispute on the money. It's about how the streaming thing is going to work with these bundles and such. Like, how is that actually going to affect the future of this? So they feel like they're taking a larger moral, feels like it's strong to say, but in some ways almost moral stand, or I guess divert back to the existential word there, stand on what's happening there. So yeah, that is a thing that's popping. And if you are like me and you have that DirecTV or the stream or what have you, might have to figure some things out. Maybe a bar to go check out. I do wonder though, like the businesses that use DirecTV for theirs, right?
A lot of bars use DirecTV, man. Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they're going to handle this, because
not good. They've already changed their subscription.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Like that you're messing with the money. And what's the one thing you can't do?
YouTube TV.
Mess with the money. Golly, you're in on the YouTube TV?
I have everything else, but my son has it.
Oh, you love
it. So we were watching, I was like,
this multi-box got you?
God,
it's always the multi-box that gets them.
This thing is going to end me. I'm going to spend it. It was truly one of those like take my money moments.
Yeah. You're spending more than cable at this point.
Dude, I've got everything else except you. Like name an outlet, name, you know, a provider. I've got it, but I don't have YouTube TV.
That's the thing.
I left my son's home. I was like, damn it.
Here comes another one. Yeah. Shout out to the 713. This is the issue, right? With everyone, there's a gap in coverage with every one of these different apps or what have you, or services. From the 713, I'd go to YouTube TV if they carried Space City Home Network. Everyone is missing something here or there. Man. And that's the thing, is you just gotta pay for a whole bunch of things and overlap.
Get you a jailbroken fire stick.
All right. Okay. I hope nobody.
I was good yesterday.
I know you were.
You know what?
You were having a good
time. We may have to talk.
Yeah. All right.
God, that's how spoiled I got in one day.
All right. Y'all meet up at the barbershop, because I need a lineup anyway, so we can go do that. All right. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Texans Victory Monday. And with that being the case, let's get to a segment I love that's called Who Hoop. Let's talk about the folks who provided on a big level for your Texans in their win. We'll do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.